Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show. We are on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, check them out, put HTBT in the memo field, and you'll get a sweet mug and a ton of other benefits. Also, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on email, matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. I would appreciate a follow, a like, a share, all of the above. I'd really appreciate that. If you're listening to this on live stream, 12 p.m. Pacific time on the Cross Politic channels, you can check it out there, or you can share the show. I'd really appreciate that. Give some hearts if you're on Periscope or like on all these platforms. It's crazy. We're also on YouTube. Also going to be rolling out these shows on our own YouTube channel, How to Build a Tent. If you want to give us a follow there, we have like no subscribers because I'm just starting it. But if you want to be like the first subscriber, you can go over there and subscribe to the How to Build a Tent page. I'm going to be building that out shortly. And I just want to say, as I always say, but I really want to emphasize it today, is how much I really appreciate your guys' emails reaching out. They are really an encouraging thing to me. And I know that you guys talk about how much the show has been helpful for you, but you guys have been a blessing to me. And I hope that if you haven't reached out yet to me and you've been thinking about it, I hope you do, because I really want to hear from you. I always get back. I read them all. I think about them. I'm not just like, oh, thanks, bye. But I really like take to heart what you say. I share with my wife. And just, it's a blessing for her too, because this is a sacrifice, taking time away from her day to do this. And one of the emails that I got was talking about how this lady, she has an awesome name, but I'm not gonna share her name. Well, I can share her first name, I guess. Zion, that's awesome. That's such an awesome name, so powerful. She's up in Canada, and she was just sharing how she's not really starting a business, but she is trying to use some of the things we talk about on this show for her family and raising her kids. And I just wrote back like, yes, you get it. Success in and of itself, just to be successful, doesn't really mean much. I mean, that's why you find people that are rich, that are successful, have addictions. They oftentimes will try to commit suicide, not oftentimes, but you hear about those cases, because they find that success isn't enough. And what I said to her, and I want to reemphasize, because I told her, I confess, I probably don't say it enough, is success is obedience to God. That's where the fulfillment of success comes from. And what's great about that is that this show is taking principles from the Bible to apply to business. But those principles are way more applicable than just to business. They're also applicable to raising your kids, taking responsibility. And that is the genius of the Bible. There's so many applications of it. So as we take a Christian worldview, a Christian stance on building businesses, on being successful in your careers, you can take these and apply them to your kids, to your family, to yourself, in your personal life as well. And she just totally got that. Success is not just meaning being rich and getting a whole bunch of worldly goods. That in and of itself means nothing. But success is fulfilling and doing your best and rising to the occasion of what God has called you to and being used by Him and just making the best and being the best steward as you can. If that is a stewardship of a business, of a startup, of your own personal career, of your kids, or of your personal finances, whatever it is, that is what it means to be successful, is obedience to God in those areas and making the most of it and putting in the work and being diligent, being a disciple, being or persevering through the hard times to being faithful to what God's called you to. And you will be successful. I need to keep talking about that because there's so much in the world about success. What does it mean? What can you do to be successful? We need to keep bringing it back to a biblical framework, a biblical understanding that as long as we're obeying God, we're going to be successful. Whatever that looks like, it's going to be different for all of us. That's the beautiful thing, is that God has a specific plan for each one of us, and it's different from other people. So we shouldn't be comparing, like that good old C.S. Lewis quote, comparison is the thief of joy. And man, is that true. Today, I want to talk about Apple. I got another one of my little quirky titles about it. And I want to talk about Apple because I want to hear from you your thoughts. Again, please reach out to me. And I'm going to end the show with some questions on what I would like to hear about or what I want you to think about as an exercise. Because again, these exercises are really important. I don't want to just be an entertainment podcast for you, but I want you to grow. I want you to develop. And one of the ways is to take scenarios and companies, cases like this, and think through what would you do if you were the CEO of a company like Apple in their circumstances. And it's also not just from a business perspective or a career perspective, but also from an investing perspective, because they are a publicly traded company. You could invest in Apple or you could not. And what would make you want to invest in them? Do you think Apple is a good company in the long term? Do you think they had their day and it's just coasting along? And again, when I talk about investing and like doing your research, these are the things I want you to be thinking about when you're looking to invest in a company. You don't want to just look at the financials, but you want to think about the company from a management perspective. That's one of the great things about what Warren Buffett does, I've talked about before. And obviously a lot of other people have talked about before. It's no secret to the Warren Buffett style of investing, but he invests in managers as much as the company itself. I'm going to turn my phone off in case you heard a ringer. Thank you, David, for texting me. So that's what I want to get into today. And I will just stay off the bat. I am an Apple guy. I have all Apple products, Apple TV, iPad, MacBook, iPhone, all of the Apple products. But I feel that I'm kind of torn with the company because I don't really have that much faith in Tim Cook. And I'm sure a lot of you agree as well. I don't know too many people that think, man, Tim Cook was the perfect replacement for Steve Jobs. Now, and there's two respects, at least in my opinion, of why I think that he has definitely fallen short and not filled the shoes of Steve Jobs. One is innovation has been lacking. Now, there could be a reason for that, that they're shifting from being a products company to a services company. Or it could mean that they just were a one-man company that was built by Steve Jobs, and the ingenuity, the innovation was from one man and not a team, which is kind of an interesting thought. But no doubt there's people that are innovative in Apple, but what is the culture? What is their goals? What are they going towards? And then also, I don't think there's much of a discussion or debate about the lack of innovation since Steve Jobs has gone. But also, on top of that, is there's been a ton more bugs and rollouts that I never saw when Steve Jobs was the CEO. You may disagree with that or not, but maybe it was just in my mind. But I always felt that if there was something that was going to be released by Apple, you could have confidence that there were no major bugs. Like, obviously, there's bugs. There's bugs in everything. In every rollout that you have, every version you roll out, there's going to be some bugs. But I feel like in the last years or the term of what Tim Cook has done, there's been some bugs. So I just kind of do not have faith in Tim Cook. On a positive side of Apple as a company, as an investment opportunity, is how much cash they have on hand. It's amazing. $285 billion on hand. That's how much cash they have in their accounts. Not like how much the company is worth. The company is worth a lot more than that. But the cash that they have on hand is $285 billion. Now, that's kind of like the million-dollar question you got when you were a kid. If you had $1 million, what would you do with your life? What would you be? What would your career be? And that was supposed to be like the thing that you would be most happy doing or being the most content with. And are you in that career? I'm just curious. I don't even remember what I said in those questions. But I would wonder, like, do you remember what you would say to those questions when you were deciding what to do with your career? Like, are you in that career now? Probably not a lot of people are in that same career. But this is kind of like the equivalent for a business. Like, they have an opportunity to do whatever they see fit with that $285 billion. And a lot of that has been built up because of what Steve Jobs did, in my opinion. And obviously it's been accruing still, and they've been growing that under Tim Cook. I'm not trying to take away from that, that he has done some good things like growing the cash. But what do you do with that? Like, do you buy companies? Do you fund startups? Do you, like Amazon is doing? Or I guess Amazon's not technically, they're not backing startups, they're not financially investing in startups, but they're creating platforms for it. Like, where do you go from here? And it's gonna be interesting because Apple is actually coming out with a rollout coming up, and we'll get into that in a second, where they're gonna be talking about some new things they're gonna be doing. But it's hard to get away from that because basically you could do a lot of things. You can even make a lot of mistakes and still be okay with $285 billion in cash, which makes it a very attractive investment. Their stock went down when they were giving a bad, they kind of gave out their last employee update. They were talking about how this quarter was going to be a bad, and their Apple stock kind of took a big hit last year, but they've kind of done pretty well in the last couple months. Like, people must not be believing that Apple's going to be doing bad this quarter or something to that effect. Where was I with that? But what are they going to be doing with this cash? And now another thing that is something to keep in mind is they have a really high retention rate in most countries with their products, 80%. If you think about that percentage in other industries, that is incredible. 80% of people that have an iPhone, for example, will buy another iPhone, have a MacBook, will buy another MacBook. 80%, that is incredible. On the downside of that, though, in China, which is kind of a big deal, it's only 50%, which means people are more likely to give up their Apple products for Android or other kinds of products. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And you can do some research to think about that if you want some extra credit. And China is a big deal, and not just because it's a up-and-coming market, an emerging market, and Apple's so big that they have to be in these places, but they have a billion people. And a billion people is like $285 billion in cash. It's really significant to any company that is kind of at a mature stage of life that they have to find areas to grow, like China. And it's going to be interesting with China slowing down. I mean, they're going to be going into recession because, not just because it's cyclical, two, they prop up their economy, and three, the president, dictator, however you want to say it, Xi Jinping, I'm really trying to say his name, I forget, Xi Jinping, he is becoming more dictatorial, taking the free market stuff that was really growing China away and going back to more of a command economy, which will be interesting for Apple as well. Now, they are going to be switching to a service revenue. One of the big reasons for that is their iPhone sales are dropping. They dropped 15% in the fourth quarter of 2018. And they're going to be supposedly in March coming out, like I just talked about a little bit ago, March 25th, they're going to have this big reveal of some services they're going to be rolling out. They're going to be rolling out a new news site. It's going to be interesting to see what that's like, and a new video streaming site. So again, there's this pivot to this service revenue more than a device revenue, which I always saw, especially under Steve Jobs, Apple being a device company, and they threw in the software, and the software was what made the devices valuable. And they would really hike up the devices at a premium because of the software that came with it. And you'd always get the update for free, you never charge for it. So I always saw them as a products company. So this is a really big shift that they're going in that will be really interesting to see if they can pull off. Because again, they do have the means to make some good plays, but like, are they going to be providing value that isn't already there in other areas in the service industry? Now, what is service revenue? Well, service revenue would be like iTunes, right? When you buy music on there, their music streaming service is another service revenue. Another one that you might not think about, which is kind of a big deal, and a lot of analysts throw up a red flag of warning, is Google pays Apple to be the default browser, and also pays them for their apps and some other content. And a lot of analysts are throwing a red flag up at that, is that Apple is too dependent on Google services and that they need to have things like these new streaming services to diversify and not be so dependent on one customer. We've talked about that before, where you don't want to have so much of your sales, a percentage of your sales, be from one customer, because they control you then. Whoever has the money has the power. If that's in investing, if that's in customers, if that is in a number of different ways, whoever controls the money, or partnerships was the other third one I wanted to say. And that's why it's important when you're doing contracts that you want to be the one controlling the money, because whoever controls the money has power. All right, so the exercise, I want you to think about, what should you be doing? Not, again, not just from a business perspective, but for investing and thinking through, what should Apple be doing and what should you not be doing? Now, some of the things that I've been thinking about, and just in light of the questions that I'm going to ask you for you to answer on your own. Again, I would love for you to give me your answers through email or social media, and I'll get back to you. But you don't have to. You could just think about these things yourselves and go through this exercise on your own. But if you want my feedback, send me an email or shoot me some kind of instant message or direct message, depending on what platform you're on. I don't have faith in Tim Cook. They have tons of cash. They can do whatever they want with it. And they're switching to a service kind of company instead of a product company, which I don't know if I really agree with, especially with a lot of new threats coming up, like Spotify. Did you hear about this? Spotify is suing Apple because of their monopolistic tendencies, where they're charging 30% of sales, and that's what they do. If you want to sell on your, put your app on iTunes, if you charge, they will take a 30% cut, which is pretty crazy. And there's gonna be this whole fight, and you see Apple responded to that today. But there's gonna be a huge fight of that. So what happens if the EU favors Spotify in that ruling, and they can't charge as much as they do, or they have to have some kind of other arrangement? I mean, that can be a big hurdle to come up through, because they get a lot of money from iTunes. And with their new services coming out, that's something to think about too, is like, do we really want a new liberal news site? Like, are liberal news sites doing well today? Are they doing well with even liberals? I know that a lot of us are conservatives that listen to this show. I mean, maybe not, but I'm assuming they are. Like, from a liberal perspective, does liberals really want another news site to aggregate news? I mean, there's tons of sites out there already. Like, what could Apple do to provide value? And maybe that's a question that you answer as well. And then a streaming service. Like, I'm pretty happy with Netflix. I'm pretty happy with Amazon Prime. I don't know that I need another service. Like, my smart TV, I have the Apple TV. Those are all great. What is Apple going to do that's going to provide such tremendous value that's going to make me switch? And that's something else to think about if you're a startup or have an idea. Is it's not good enough to have an idea in the tech world. If you're thinking about building an app or anything, I guess to some extent can apply to this, is you have to think about the switching cost for a customer and how much it would cost to switch from their product to your product. And how are you going to convince people to do that? That is a big hurdle that you need to consider. People aren't just going to like automatically change their normal routine and switch to a new app, switch to a new service, just because you told them to or because you have a similar product. But it's gonna have to be something to overcome that hurdle, because we are all creatures of habit. We have a tendency not to like change. And that's what you're doing when you're rolling out a new product or a new platform, is you're getting people or trying to get people to change their normal routine. And I just wonder, like, are people really gonna be changing just for a new streaming platform? I don't know. We'll see. It seems like they're doing some negotiations with a lot of the cable channels like HBO and all those things. But I mean, we have that already, right? I mean, they have their own standalone service. So it's just going to be really interesting to see what they have to say and or see what they come out with March 25th. All right, so here are some questions that I would like you to think about that I think would be a good exercise if you're going to invest, or if you just want to start thinking strategically and just get your brain thinking that way. One, do you consider Apple pivoting to services away from devices to be a good or bad move? Why or why not? Like, why do you think they should or shouldn't do that? Should they stick with devices? Two, is there a new product that they could come up with, like what the iPhone was or an iPad is, that could totally revolutionize a new or the whole world? Like, would it be a new industry? Would it be within a new niche? Like, what would it be? Like, the iPad was something completely new concept. Like, is there something that you can think of that Apple should do with that cash to roll out something new that would just drive up sales, drive up the value of the company? Three, what would you do with all that cash? Now, I'm giving you that little third grade question. If you were a millionaire, what would you do as a career? If you had a company worth $285 billion, or had $285 billion on hand, what would you do with it? And then four, is Apple a stock that you would invest in? Why or why not? And like, give me some of your thoughts about that if you would like. because again, there's just so many different things that go into a decision like Apple. Is like, what is their value? Besides the fundamentals, besides the financials, just from a business operation standpoint, from an economic standpoint, from what the markets are doing, it'd be really interesting. It's a really interesting thought. I don't have any stock in Apple, and I've gone back and forth. I'm not sure. I had some options where I shorted them, and man, I lost all my money on those. But all the money I put in on those options, I didn't lose all my money. Anyways, so that is my thoughts on Apple. I'd love to hear what you have to think, because it's really perplexing to me, that company. I don't know what to do, invest in, invest not, to invest or not to invest. That is the question. I don't know. Well, that is what I think. I would love to hear what you have to think. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless.